radio broadcast, ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Daniel, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
No matter where you go, if you go to eat, there's music playing, you go to the new grocery shop, you know. I noticed that during the pandemic, they didn't play music. My wife was like, why is it so morbid in here? And then she realized there's no music playing. I don't know if they're playing it again over at Meijer, but they weren't playing it. But it's interesting how they had music everywhere and how they had the head of gold. He had so much opulence in that city. It's said that he actually had his own dragon. He said, I don't believe in dragons. You don't believe in dragons? Well, the Bible talks about them in the book of Job. It talks about a Leviathan, fire-breathing dragon. Talks about a behemoth. Look them up. There's your dinosaurs. They don't call them dinosaurs. That's a coined word from the 1800s. It means terrible lizard. These were real things. And he had one. And they actually have pictures of it embedded into the bricks and carved into their stone. And it's believed he had one. And there was a 13th chapter that some had added in the Apocrypha that talked about Bel and the dragon. Beyond that, it was just a very opulent, very rich, very wealthy, very powerful kingdom. You are the head of gold, the Bible says. Verse 39. It says, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall rule over all the earth, and a fourth kingdom, which shall be strong as iron. Now, he just blew through this. Other chapters, they'll talk about leopards, they'll talk about bears, they'll talk about all kinds of things. But he's not really emphasizing that. This is what we might call the first revelation of this whole unfolding of how the plan's going to be. So he gives it to us quick. We know it's the Medes and the Persians that will bring them down. We know it's Greece that is the third kingdom. We know it's Rome that is the fourth kingdom. So you have these four sections of this image he sees. They all represent world empires. Okay, and that's where we are. And it says in verse 40, the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. That's what it's going to be. It's going to do it like it's its job. He's talking about Rome here. Ancient Rome, he says, they're going to be like iron. You can think of iron in your mind's eye when you think of maybe bars on a cell door. You know, it's just like, this is not moving. I mean, maybe one of those bars on the windows. There's no moving this, okay? We see the old westerns where they get a couple horses and rip it out of the mortar or whatever, but the iron ain't going nowhere, all right? They're not some strong man going to go like this, okay? Unless God supernaturally endows them like Samson. But what we have here is they're going to be like iron, nothing. They're going to be immovable. And that is Rome's pedigree. They were there for a long time. They existed for a long time. And as you know, they fell because of internal rot, not because of an external enemy. They got so debauched and so wicked that they actually destroyed themselves. It sounds very familiar, does it not? The Bible says that it breaks in pieces and bruises. That's what it did. It subjugated everything that came before it and came toward it and came against it. And it was very powerful and nearly undauntable. But finally it fell, it did. And the Bible says in verse 41, and whereas thou saw the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron. For as much as thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Now, this is a very interesting thing we can't parse too deeply because we don't have the time. But just understand that what we're talking about here is a revived Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, iron. Okay, that's the legs, but it's the feet and the 10 toes that are miry clay mixed with iron. And what you have, therefore, is a division in the midst of this revival of the Roman Empire. If you were to go over to the European Union's gathering place, I don't know what they call it now. They've had a couple of them, and now they're at a centralized location. They have a woman riding a beast out front as a sculpture. Their building is built like a Tower of Babel. They understand their history. These are people who are trying to bring together something of their heritage as Roman-esque. They're looking at trying to revive so much of the spirit of it all that they will do whatever they can to become a power again. Right now, they're all on their knees over there, every one of them. They just hope that America comes back. They just hope that something can happen because right now, we're all brought to heel. But do not despair fully because right now, China's brought to heel too. They're down
by about a third of their energy. They can't make it. Some believe that the Three Gorges Dam has been decimated by floods. We don't know for sure because they ain't going to tell you. But whatever it is, they don't have their energy right now. And it's part of why we're going to have a real problem with supply lines. So what I'm saying to you is China doesn't have a part in this ten-toed thing. They don't have a part. They're going to be in the wings and they're going to come later. But at first, we got to have a revived Roman Empire. The revived Roman Empire will consist of 10 nations specifically overseeing the entire whole. We don't know how that's going to unfold. We just know that 10 nations have to come. Three of those nations are going to be cast down by the Antichrist, and then he's going to rise up and take control of everything. What we're looking at right now is there's a lot of upheaval on the sea of the nations. Nobody knows what's going to happen, but we know God does. Okay, he has told us what's going to happen. So what we have is we have the hope and the understanding that something's got to give. Now, I have my suspicions, and some of you have your suspicions, but what I want you to take away from this is that God is in control. You need to know he knows the end from the beginning. That's who he is. Therefore, you don't need to despair. You don't need to be afraid because he who loved you so much that he did not withhold his only begotten son, how shall he not with him freely give you all things richly to enjoy? He will give you things that are meaningful, lasting, like love, joy, peace, fearlessness. He's going to give you what you need. And you have to continually go back to him when things are really dicey. Do you know when things got really bad on those waves and the seasoned fishermen were out there and they're like, Lord, don't you care that we perish? How many times did they go back and look at Jesus sleeping over here and come back and think, hey, let's fight some more. Where? Let's go back over. Finally, Lord, wake up! What are you going to say, Lord, search me and know me and tell me what it is that makes me come so easily undone? What is missing here that I do not have the ability to fortify my faith? Because God would have you drill down into your faith and find Jesus in there and find the peace, find the anchor, find the help, find your forerunner who actually has his rope on his little tugboat, bringing the whole church on through. We're going through, beloved. If we know Jesus, he's bringing it. He's our forerunner. And that's what a forerunner was. Brought the big ships into harbor. He's gone within the veil. And he's going to see to it that we get through there too. Now, the Bible says that this last kingdom is going to be made up of 10 toes, of miry clay and iron and all that. And it says in verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Again, this is still overview. This is the early part of the book of Daniel. He doesn't go into too much detail. He's just giving him a thumbnail sketch. We don't even know what the 10 toes are, but we're going to find out later. We know because of other passages in Daniel what the 10 toes are. We'll know from the book of Revelation study what the 10 toes are. And that's how I can expand upon that. But the Bible says here in verse 44 that he's going to set up his kingdom. He says in verse 45, for as much as you saw that there was a stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands that break in pieces the iron and the brass and the clay and the silver and the gold, the great God of heaven hath made known unto you, O king, what shall come to pass hereover. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. The Bible says, then the king said, who is this God of yours? No, he didn't say that. He still knew. He had a very quick brush with him when he saw Daniel and his friends earlier. And now he's getting a closer look at these boys. Who are these guys? No, the Bible says, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and he worshipped Daniel. Not unlike Alexander the Great worshiping at the gates when he was getting ready to destroy the city. He got down and worshiped before that high priest and explained that it was that very vision that I'm having right now that I saw before I ever started my exploits. The God I worship is not that man. It's the God behind that man. Well, Nebuchadnezzar didn't have that discernment so much. He worshiped Daniel. He commanded that they should offer oblation and sweet odors unto him. And so what I want you to take away from that is this knowledge that when you worship, it means to prostrate yourself. You can see it in the picture of is painted in the scriptures. It means to do homage to them. And so what we're seeing here is that this was something that he did without being provoked or solicited. It was just automatic. Do you realize right now the people of God ought to be falling on their faces and worshiping God? Do you realize what he's doing? He's let you live in this day. He's let you live in this day. You've seen glass that you can look through and see people on the other side of the world. I can talk to my son in Kuwait through glass. What is that? No other nation had this. It's bewitching. I get it. It is. But it is what you have been chosen to work through. Get rid of all of the fascinations. Use what is useful. You have that option. But the reality is, God is the object of your adoration. Not the latest gadget, not the newest phone, not the quickest internet, not the biggest car, not the biggest house. It's Jesus! That's who we worship. This guy didn't know it. He fell down and worshiped. And the king answered unto Daniel in verse 47, "Of a truth it is that your God is the God of gods, a Lord of kings, a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret." And the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. Think about that. Who am I? Daniel must be thinking. And yet here he is, this young person being made a ruler over all of Babylon. And he intercedes and he requests that his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, could be also set over the affairs of the province of the king. Now, as we wind down, I just want you to know that this king didn't really drill into who this God was. He just put him over. He said, "Yeah, your God's the good God. He's got it. He's good." He doesn't say, "Tell me more about it." Cyrus must have done that because he actually says, "God called me to build him a house." Okay, and he got it because somewhere he was sitting down with Daniel saying, "Tell me more about what's going on. What does it say in those scriptures of yours?" And it says, "My name." What? He says, "God has called me to build him a house." This is the God who named Cyrus 100 years or so before he was born. And what we're seeing is that this king only wanted information. He didn't want regeneration. That's the problem in our country today. People want to know more, but they don't want to be changed. They want things to change, but they don't want to change. You see, reality is if the Lord gave it all back to us tomorrow and everything was as it was, we would be worse than we ever were. Because we would see we dodged another bullet just like we did in 9/11. So I don't expect that to happen. So I do expect things to get a little dicey. But what we see is him wanting his fear allayed. That's all he wanted. I just don't know what this is. It scared me. And I really don't know how to process it. Help me with that. And when they got their answer, he just, "You're the man. You're good. You're good. I'm going to put you in charge." You see, what he wanted is he would rather dissect things than to repent. That can't be us, beloved. That can't be us. Don't fall into that trap of the allure of knowledge and power. Just because you know something does not mean that you're going to be opted out of any kind of bad things that might come around the corner. You're going to need Jesus. You need him really desperately right now so that you can get your eyes clear so you can see who around you needs Jesus. You are Jesus' hands and feet right now. You're his mouthpiece. And you need to come to him, fall on your face and say, "Lord God, it's been scary, but I know you're God in heaven. I want just what I need. I need peace. I need faith. I need confidence. I need a spirit of love." The Bible says he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. You see the difference? If he scares you, you're not going to love. If he scares you, you're not going to go out and sacrifice for other people. If he scares you home, you will not be witnessing. The devil wants to shut the church down. And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about you. And you need to recognize what the ploy is. You're here for a reason. And God's on a rescue mission, always has been. I encourage you to get close to your Lord in your closet and find that relationship in a sweet, sweet place where it needs to be. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.